tell you what, happy Friday to everyone out there for the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Glad to be here on a Friday afternoon, and there's a special reason why we're here, and that is because the NFL schedules were announced for the 2022 season, the upcoming season. So Tubby and I said, you know what, this is a perfect time to get on and let everybody know what we think of the schedule. So welcome to all you that watch us on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. We're glad to have you. Also, those that are regular podcast listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, Castro, Podcaster, all of those podcast services. We're glad to be here for a little quick hit up on the Eagles 2022 schedule. So let's unwrap this. How you feel about this schedule, Tubby? Because we looked at it today and said, yeah, let's get on and talk about this real quick.
Yeah, man. You know, it's always a good time of the year. You always know, like, what conferences you're going to play coming up. But the dates are important, you know, which teams you play and when. So my initial reaction was like, okay, I knew we weren't going to have like a really tough schedule coming into this year, knowing that we were playing the, was it the NFC North and the AFC South?
Right.
So I said, oh, okay. So, yeah, man, now my initial glance is not bad, man, not bad. It's not a tough one. It's not a tough one. It's something that, you know, just off my initial glance, is like it could be some pain in some spots. But as we go through each game, I'll definitely let you know.
Well, you know, I'm all excited because I got my brand new A.J. Brown jersey on, ready to go.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. That. I'm just kidding. It's Carson Wentz jersey. But nobody, unless I say something, you know, you look at the back, you're not going to know. He's going to be wearing 11 this year. So all I got to do is find somebody to change the name out on the back for me. I ain't going to do like when we let go of McCoy and brought in DeMarco Murray. I'm not going to do like when people did the masking tape or the duct tape across the back. I'm not going to go that far. But yeah, right. So I did put wear 11 because of A.J. Brown. But yeah, I saw the schedule, you know, last night and I was like, let's go. This is a very doable schedule. Now, you never know until the season starts, you know, how things are going to go, you know, with what teams are going to be good, you know, because we just don't know until the season really gets going, because teams come out of the woodwork and surprise us. So without any further ado, let's take a look at this and start breaking it down and just see what we think for, you know, game by game. Now, the first one that stands out is of course, week one, you know, at Detroit, which right now, I mean, they had a really good draft, but that's a good time to get Detroit before they get anything possibly going, you know, with their new players, with the haul they had after the draft. I actually like the Detroit game opening at week one. That's a good opportunity for a win right off the bat, even on the road.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you, man. I September 11th, so it's going to be, it's going to be really patriotic day.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're right, man. Opening up against the Detroit Lions is you're going to have an away game. You might as well open up against the Detroit Lions. That's going to be one of your away games, just like last year, we played Detroit away. So, man, starting off, you know, with a team that you should be able to beat.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I'm looking at this is, of course, I try to go to the Eagles games that are in my area. I live in Dayton, Ohio. So I have a really good opportunity to go to this game and the Indy game in week 11 because they're right in my backyard. So I'm going to try to go to both this year.
Nice.
I just figured now I got to start looking at tickets so I can figure out how I'm going to do the logistics part of it. So right off the bat, we get Detroit week one. And then they come back home for Minnesota in week two. Again, another team that outside of Justin Jefferson, this is a team to me, the Vikings right now that are kind of on the decline. You know, Jefferson gives them a little bit. Cook, you never know what you're going to get, whether it's injuries or, you know, if he's healthy, he's a beast. But outside of that, they said same old Kirk Cousins. They don't really have, got Thielen, which is pretty good receiving core. Defensively, they really haven't been the dominant team they once were. So I'm kind of feeling good about Minnesota at home. It's kind of a repeat of that 2017 NFC Championship game, and we got him back in our place as well.
Nah, man, I never mind playing Minnesota, really, because, you know, they're not, unless, well, let me back that up. They do have a good offense. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a really solid offense. You have Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the league. He's going to cause you trouble catching the ball and running it. Dual threat. You have two really good wide receivers in Adam Thielen and the one that we missed, right. Justin Jefferson. Exactly. So, yeah, man, I think I think this is another winnable game, but it's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game for us. You know, they have a solid, going into their third year together as an offense. So Minnesota's going to be dangerous, but we should be able to win this one as well, too.
The thing I like about it is it's the home opener. So the Eagles will be hyped up, especially if they come off a win in week one. It's the first chance for the fans to really see this new offense of the Eagles, because you look at them right now, they're looking dangerous on offense right now. So if everything goes well in week one, they come back home for week two, and then they got Minnesota. Then we go into back on the road, so it's like a back and forth type for the first seven weeks, actually, if you look at it. It's like home, away, home, away, home, away. Go back on the road to the newly renamed Washington Commanders with their new quarterback, Carson Wentz. So this is going to be an interesting one. I think Washington's still kind of on the rebuild mode. I don't know. They always have a solid defense, but offensively, they don't scare me that much. So we'll see how this one goes on the road. You look at this, they've got an opportunity right there out of the gate to really go 3-0. And then with the week four game back at home against Jacksonville, possibly 4-0 to open the season. I don't want to jump ahead too much, but that's a logical possibility for the Eagles when you look at the beginning of this schedule.
Nah, man, I'm right there with you, man. Washington is going to be at least we go there for Carson's first game against the Eagles. It's a home, it's an away game. You know what I mean? So we go out there and test the waters. But yeah, this Washington team could be good. It could be explosive. We know Wentz can be explosive. So this isn't a walkover game. They have a veteran quarterback out there. If Chase Young comes back as healthy as we think, and it's a team to be reckoned with. You know, they made the playoffs the previous year with a bum squad and a random quarterback in Heineke that they just kind of threw in there right at the end. So this is a very winnable game. You know, it's a division game, so they're always going to be tricky. And then, like you said, even going over into Jacksonville, we have Doug Peterson there, right? So we have our former coach, guy that's very familiar with our staff, our players,
right?
You know, our whole organization, you know. And he's picked up a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, man, Jacksonville's gotten a lot better. As far as a lot of teams have gotten better, you know, I know they got rid of DJ Chark, who is in Detroit. But, yeah, man, just moving on to that Jaguars game, man, tough game. Playing Doug. Doug's back in the fold.
Yep, back at the link. Doozy.
What you think about that Jacksonville matchup?
I think having them at home, again, this is a team that we're catching a lot of these teams where they're in the process or just at the finish of a rebuild mode, right, the first 4 weeks of the season. These are teams that really haven't reestablished themselves as contenders in the league, whereas the Eagles are coming off a playoff, season where they make the playoffs. Yeah, they lost in the first round to Tom Brady, but they're really on the upswing. And I think that with what the Eagles got in the draft, these first four games couldn't have really worked out any better on the schedule for the Eagles. It plays into their possibilities of really coming out of the first month of the season as 4-0. And like I said, I don't want to jump any gun, but I'm just saying if you look at it on paper, that's a realistic possibility. We get into week five with an away game at Arizona. This is where things could go either way. Because you don't know how well Kyler Murray is going to play. You don't know. You know, they just picked up another receiver. We're going in cold on this, but they just got another weapon on the receiving core. So I think that they're going to be dangerous as far as Arizona playing them on the road.
Yeah, man. They got Hollywood Brown now.
Oh, that's right. They got Marquise Brown after the draft. That's what it was. That's right. What I was trying to think of.
Yeah, man, they lost Christian Kirk, who I think went to Jacksonville. Yeah. And then they picked up Hollywood Brown now. So that's another weapon, college teammate of Kyler Murray. So that's that rapport there. The only thing that catches my eye here, really, not the only thing, but they won't have Hopkins. He's suspended for the first six games of the season. Right. So they won't have Hopkins for this game, which is good for us. you know, and our new corners, because we're still trying to, I mean, we know we have Slay, but we're still trying to figure out our secondary with the exception of Slay and let McLeod go. So this could be another, you know, we can go about 3-4 straight weeks where we're going against a pretty solid quarterback and offensive core just in general, you know, with all the weapons that Arizona had. You know, they got McLaurin out there with Washington. We know the receivers that Minnesota have. And then we're going to a newly ready to go. I think they even got Evan Engram down there at tight end, even in Jacksonville. And then we're going against our old guy, Zach Ertz. So they have a lot of weapons out there.
Definitely.
In Arizona. Really dangerous game.
It is. And that's why I say that could be, it could go either way. I like I said, with Hopkins out, I think that does play into the Eagles' favor. Gives them less to have to cover. We're not really going to know how these DBs are, until the season gets going, because we're really light on DBs. We're great right now with our front seven. So I think that their teams are going to have a really hard time running on the Eagles. But we don't know, like you said, with McLaurin and all these offensive weapons, how our DBs are going to play. So possibility there that they could get out of that game unscathed and go into week six coming back at home with the first encounter with the Dallas Cowboys, which is, you know, what we want. I think that you're coming out of the first 6 weeks of the season and you got Dallas at home before you go on a week seven bye. I think I love the way that this is playing out. It seems like the NFL is doing the Eagles a favor here with the way the first six games are rolling out.
Yeah, man. It looks like it's pretty reasonable to be 4-2 at least at the end of this. You know, 5-1 or 4-2.
Right.
It's a reasonable start for us.
If they could get out of the Dallas game with a win and maybe a 5-1 going into the bye week, that sets them up. That just means that now they can get some momentum going heading out of that. And then out of that, they go back on the road to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. But again, no Ben Roethlisberger. They've got Mitchell Trubisky and the kid that they got from the draft, Kenny Pickett. They're really now, I think, Pittsburgh starting a new era. So we don't really know what kind of team that we're going to get there. So I think that plays into the Eagles' advantage.
Yeah, man. Dallas is always going to be a crazy game, man. Crazy game, but at least we have them going into the bye week. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Going into the bye week, and then, I think it's just a good, really good link up for us, man, because it's always going to be a tough matchup. I think our first six games is going to be pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you think about the bye week? You think that's too early?
Considering that in previous seasons we've had it way too late, I'm okay with a week seven. I think somewhere in the middle of the season is optimal, but you're not going to get that. At least it's not, you know, after week four or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I'll take it, especially coming after the Dallas game, because the guys can go all out against Dallas. You know, they're not going to have Amari Cooper anymore. They're really, you know, a lot of people are giving the Eagles a better chance to win the East than the Cowboys, because they've really lost on some key pieces on offense. Defense is not looking as stout as it was. They're still a good team, don't get me wrong. You got Dak Prescott, you still got two good running backs, you still have CeeDee Lamb, you know, you've got Van Der Esch and all those guys on the defense that are going to be tough to deal with. But I think that the Eagles have closed the gap. Let's just say that they've closed the gap. So going into week six, going into the bye week, I think they go hell bent for leather, and then they come out of that, and you've got again two AFC opponents that are winnable games coming out of the bye week in the Steelers, and then following that, going on the road to the Texans.
Go ahead.
With no Deshaun Watson in Houston, I mean, there's no one to fear there anymore. There's no Watt anymore. This is not the same Texan team from a few years ago. There's no Hopkins anymore. They're a shell of what they were. So you couldn't ask for a better. Now you look at it, they could ask for the better nine weeks of a season. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. We don't know who the Steelers quarterback is going to be. I don't even know who. What's the guy? I forgot his name from last year. Ellis or something like that. I don't even know if he's going to be the Texans quarterback. So you're right, man. We have coming out of this, these are two teams, two definitely winnable games. And if I'm just tallying it up here as we go, that puts us at about 8-2
potentially,
or 9-1.
Yeah.
9-1 is a stretch. you know, for such a still a squad that's still getting to know each other with a new receiver, two new receivers, but we definitely have the firepower to do it.
Yeah, you know,
short man.
Yeah,
it's one of the names here.
Yeah, the way I see it, the same way. I mean, I would take seven. I think it was 6, 7, 8. So I'd take 7-1. I don't think they'd be 8-0 at this point, but I would definitely take 7-1 or 6-2 after week 9. That would be fantastic. Yeah. And then again, you know, we got the Commanders coming up again, this time at home. And we don't really know who their quarterback's going to be. It might be Carson Wentz, but by week 10, you know, they could go back to Fitzpatrick. He's still with them, right?
Yeah, last time I checked.
From Tampa Bay. So, you know, the way Fitzpatrick does people, with the whole Fitzmagic thing, you think you got your job, and then he's like the guy that sneaks in and starts sleeping with your girl behind your back. You think everything's great. You go away for a weekend trip, and then he's moved into your house. He does that everywhere he goes.
He does, man. He does.
So
he does.
Carson,
he changes the dynamic really easily.
Yeah.
And you know he's smart, so it always going to make people always second guess everything, because he'll come in and he'll look like Brady, and then the next day he'll look like Josh Rosen or something. Like, yeah. You know, it's just like it's crazy, man. He's a gun. He's one of the great gunslingers that we've been able to watch over the years, man, for sure.
He can string some good games together and then get people believing, and then he has a string of bad games. So you're right, you nailed it. So by week 10, who knows what's going to happen with Washington. And then we go back on the road week 11, and I'm looking at the schedule. There's not a lot of until the end of the season, there's no two games at home or two games on the road. It's really weird compared to where you have this homestand where you got, you know, maybe two or three games in a row at home. No, it's basically away, home, away, home, away, home, away, home, away, home, away, home, away, and then away, away, and then home. Actually, we got three games on the road toward the end of the season, but I digress. Let's go back
to Chicago, Dallas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but not three games at home, which is crazy. So if there's one downside to the schedule, that's probably it, that you're home for a week and you're away, and then at the end of the schedule, they start this three-game away trip starting at week 14 with the Colts, again, who have a new quarterback in Matt Ryan, a new look offense that they're going to be dealing with. Mm-hmm. Now, by week 14, they may have it all together. You know, we've got Frank Reich out there who does know how to put good offenses together, and I think what held them back last season, honestly, was Carson Wentz from an offensive standpoint. So this is a really dangerous game, is the Colts game on week 14. Probably out of everything that we've talked about up to this point, maybe the Arizona game and the first Dallas game, but this Indianapolis game could be one of the most challenging on the schedule.
Yeah, man. You give a passer like Matt Ryan, a running back like Jonathan Taylor, and a defense that can hold it down, this could, yeah, man. Yeah, very dangerous team. And, you know, Frank Reich still, you know, he's doing a solid job up there in Indy. They aren't blowing anybody out the water, but this could be a year for both of them, man. I think if Frank Reich doesn't win with this team, he may be out of there, but we don't need to start talking about the coach. I say all that to say maybe he'll come back to Philly.
Yeah, you know I would love that, but I think he will be a head coach for a while, with them, somewhere else. He's a proven commodity, but yeah, that's a tough game. And then we get back home after the Indy game to take on Green Bay, and they're always tough, but at least we don't have to take them on at Lambeau. At least you got Aaron Rodgers, no Devontae Adams anymore. He's with the Raiders. So you've got a different type of dynamic with the Packers as well. Don't really know what we're going to get out of them this year. You know, they played great last year and then get to the playoffs and fizzled out. Had the number one seed, had everything going for him. So will they play with the chip on their shoulder this year? It's hard to say. But thankfully, another really tough game on the schedule, but it's at home. So it makes a big difference.
Ooh, yeah, man. I mean, Packers, come on, man. Even though they are depleted, I wouldn't say depleted, but we don't really know who do they pick up. Did the Packers pick up somebody? Should have been a little better prepared for that, but
yeah, they did. I know they grabbed a wide receiver, but it wasn't anybody that was going to shake the foundations of the earth. It I can't remember the guy's name. He played with Kansas City last year. He's been around the league for a long time. Sammy Watkins.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
Sammy Watkins. That's who they picked up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he's been around the league for a while. I knew they picked up somebody, but it was nobody that was going to shake the foundations of the earth or save them. They really got to hope that their younger receivers, you know, get on track more. They got the guy, I can't remember his name now. Valdez Scantling. I was trying to say it the other way. I was trying to say Scandling Valdez, and I couldn't get it out. I was sitting there going, so once you know when you start doing that, you can't get anything out because you've already got it backwards. So Valdez Scantling is somebody that can still play, but he's no Devontae Adams. So,
right.
Now, we do get a second game at home following the Green Bay game, and that's against the Tennessee Titans. So, thankfully, we do have a two-game stretch. And this is, again, this is a theme, if you look at this schedule, where we're playing a lot of teams that have a lot of unknowns. Yeah, Tannehill's back, but now we've got A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
So their offense is going to take a hit there. What kind of Titans team is this year going to be like for them? You know, losing again. They picked up the receiver in the draft that you liked quite a bit when we got A.J., but is that going to be enough? He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. Will he come out of the gates fast and be able to play for them, or what's going to happen there?
Right. Yeah, man. And they picked up another rookie. I think Tennessee drafted Willis.
Oh, right.
Out of Liberty.
Yeah. So again,
they have a new wide receiver in Burks and a new quarterback there. So but they have one King Henry himself.
Yeah.
And that is, the Titans have been a running team for the past few years. You know, they've been a few running teams, and hey, Tannehill, just make a few throws here and there. You know, that's why, A.J. Brown never had like ridiculous numbers, but he had like solid numbers. You know, so he had 5 touchdowns last year, A.J. Brown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? On average year, he's averaged around 5 touchdowns a year with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So, with A.J. Brown coming over, if he is expecting anything more than what he was already, he's going to another running team, basically. I say all that to say he's in another team that could be heavy on the run, because the Titans weren't heavy on the pass that much. No. So, man, it's still going to be a tough matchup. Titans always play really good defense. They always play really good defense. Defensive coach in Vrabel, almost a perennial playoff team as of late, man. They just make the playoffs just about every year. So, we'll see, man. I think Tannehill is still in control and still can lead this team. And if not, they picked up a little young gun to back him up. But it gives Willis enough time to learn from a veteran quarterback, man. And we'll see how this Titans team go, man. But I'm really interested to see how Treylon Burks works out, really.
Right. That's Treylon Burks is the rookie wide receiver. And he may come out, guns a-blazing, but he's definitely not going to be as good as A.J. Brown, we think. I'd rather have A.J. Brown at this point right now. But like you mentioned, Derrick Henry can take over a game. That's who they rely on. So that's what's kept Tannehill in the league this long, is you've got that great running game to fall back on that opens up the pass for him. So if teams start stacking up, the Eagles, I think this year, more than any others, have a team that can stop the run. They always do well against the run anyway. But now we've got a front 7, front 8 that can really dominate the line of scrimmage, I think, on paper. So I think that if they can shut Henry down in this game, it could lead to another victory. I mean, this is the toughest part of the schedule. Once you get out of week 10, we've got Indy, Green Bay, and Tennessee back-to-back. That's probably the stretch that's going to be the hardest for the Eagles. So if they come out of that with at least 2 wins, even if they come out with 1 win compared to how the first part of the season goes, they're still going to be sitting pretty going into the last 5 games of the season. And this starts the 3-game road trip that they're going to have to go on. And the first game on that in week 14 is the New York Giants. So we don't even see the Giants until week 14.
It's crazy.
But that's fine. I mean, again, this is another team where their quarterback is kind of on the way out. They did not sign him to an extension. So he's on a prove-it thing with Daniel Jones. There's a lot of up in the air things with the Giants right now. They brought in some decent draft picks, but again, another team that is still working on figuring it out, that the Eagles get to play this year. And again, in our own division, the NFC East has been very weak over the last few years, and we know this. So this is the year really to take advantage of that. And I think that the Eagles have to look at Washington and the Giants games on their schedule as must wins. They are every year. But as weak as these two teams are this year, they have to put these ones in the win column because their main competitor is going to be Dallas. So they're going to need to have those division wins in their pocket so that they can at least win one out of two with Dallas.
Nah, man, I'm right there with you. You know, nice little afternoon game, December, crisp up in New York, or North Jersey, rather. You should be able to get this done, man. I don't know if you know, the Giants, I know they had a good draft, but I don't know if they've really gotten that much better as a team. So I know they still don't even know who their receivers are. They're telling Tony or he can seek a trade. He was only a rookie just last year. So just pretty crazy, but yeah, that's another one that on your schedule, man. Like, until the Giants show us something different, this is a game that we expect to win.
Right.
It's a game we expect to win. You know, we don't have to travel that far. Another division game. And it was good to find a few familiar teams towards the end of the season. So yeah, I think this is definitely a winnable game, man.
I agree. And then after that we go week 15 to Chicago to play the Bears. Again, a team that Still very good defensively, but we don't really know what we're going to get. They're a middle of the road team that's, again, in kind of a rebuilding phase. So kind of happy that we've got the NFC North on our schedule, because you got a lot of teams other than Green Bay, and even Green Bay a little bit, that are in flux. Because I can't tell you who the team that's going to win the division. Green Bay's got the inside track, but they're all kind of up in the air with different things. So we get Chicago week 15 on the road. That's not a bad game for us.
Yeah, man. Another winnable game.
Definitely.
I don't even know what's going on up there in Chicago. They have a new coach up there this year, I believe, too, mm-hmm. right? Nagy got fired, so I think right. They have a new coach. It's good to get a team like this towards the end of the season, because they could be either out of it, you know, just so far out of it that they don't even care at this point. And this is, you know, it starts to remind me of this part of the schedule starts to remind me somewhat of last year, how, you know, our schedule wasn't so bad going into the playoffs, where we start seeing these very winnable games down the stretch. And I think that Giants and that Bears game could be two good confidence booster games, that no matter how we're doing or no matter how the Titans game go, we should be able to either continue on that path or, you know, bounce back with these two games right here, this Giants game and this Bears game.
Yep.
So, yeah, man. And then the Bears, they got rid of Khalil Mack as well, too, so they don't even have their best or their most feared defender anymore.
Exactly.
So, once again, I don't know what's going on up there in Chicago, but I expect the Eagles to win this game as well, too, unless something crazy is going on up there. But we'll see, huh?
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen on the road, especially late in the season, but this is coming into the stretch of the schedule. You're just after the Colts, the Packers, and the Titans. If they put a win on the road against the Giants and then go to Chicago and get a win, they're, again, rolling back and rolling the momentum for the last three games of the season. And then comes the Christmas Eve game that's really, really hyped up on the schedule, you know, at Dallas for Christmas Eve. It's a huge, huge game. It could have division implications. By this point in the season, we'll know. In my opinion, I hope that by this point in the season, it's all but over, but the crying, that maybe we've got a four-game lead on Dallas. That's unrealistic, but I think that's going to be a huge matchup, and it's going to set the tone. We'll see what team is really going to come out ahead at the end of this game. This is the big one to circle.
Oh, man. What Cowboys game is not, man? You True. Really have to. Every time we have the Cowboys, man, no matter what time we play them in the season, you know, even though that game meant nothing to us last year, we were still like, we let Dak Prescott do this. So, you know, we were still just not having it, even though we had basically achieved our goal. We still wanted to beat them, even with putting out, you know, our backups out there. I think we started Minshew that game, the second game
right.
against the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's always a big game. You know, it's Christmas Eve game as well, too. So that's always fun.
I find it interesting because the last few years, the Cowboys have been the last game on the schedule, and they usually has come down to where it hasn't really meant anything. It's either the division's already been decided or they both make the playoffs like last year, or even going back to 2017 when the Eagles already had clinched, you know, the number one seed. So there was no point in putting anybody out there against Dallas. So the them moving this game up a little bit, I think, makes it more relevant because we're going to know that the season's not over. It could very well be over by week 18. But in week 16, I think it's going to be like, let it be, you know, two men enter, one man leave, you know, Thunderdome right there down in Texas Stadium. So I think it's going to be a great game. And yeah, like you said, every game against the Cowboys, you got to circle. And this one is could be a really, really big one that goes down for the ages. So then after that, you know, I actually misspoke earlier. I did, the way I was looking at the schedule was a little bit wrong. I said that the Eagles didn't really have a couple of good homestands. They do have a couple of two-game homestands. They got the Packers and the Titans both at home. And then to end the season in week 17 and 18, they have the Saints and then the rematch with the Giants. The Saints game at home is intriguing. Again, it's going to be cold weather. The Saints coming in. There's a lot of unknowns with them. You know, they still have Kamara, and then they brought Ingram back last year, so you still got those guys. But Ingram's, you know, got there up there in years. But their quarterback situation is really muddy because they're sticking with Jameis Winston, you know, inadequate quarterback right now, but has his issues, has always had his issues with turnovers. So that gets them frustrated when you're trying to deal with that. You know, Drew Brees has gone, done and gone now, so you can't dominate people through the air like you used to. You have to rely on somebody like Winston. Then they got Taysom Hill, who can run, you know, fairly well. He's very, very athletic, but his passing accuracy, his arm is not that great. And then they brought in Andy Dalton as well. So the Saints team, by week 17, they should kind of know where they're at, or they could also be just about out of it in the NFC. So that's going to be an intriguing matchup to see what team that we get by week 17 at home.
Nah, man, I'm right there with you. You know, Jameis, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he has a lot of Fitzpatrick in him. He can have some games where he just blows your team out the water, where he just cannot miss. I mean, this is one of the reasons why he has won a Heisman Trophy, because his potential is there. You know, we've seen it. We've seen how he can just light up a team for five touchdowns and the next week throw five interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he has a lot of Fitz magic in him. But, yeah, another – hopefully we don't party too hard. A New Year's Day game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We come out of a Christmas Eve game and then a New Year's Eve game. But at least we're not in New Orleans. At least we're at home. At least our team is not in New Orleans for New Year's. They're in Philly.
Good point. By this point of the season, if they, you know, the holidays are there and they're playing these games and they're not all business, you know, and really got the eyes on the prize at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, and I fully expect, I didn't feel this way last year. I didn't even feel this way the year before. This is the first year that I've looked at the Eagles roster, and I've looked at the schedule and had a better than average high expectations, you know, as far as going into the season, what I expect. I expect definitely a playoffs, but I'm really expecting a division title out of this at least, and maybe a playoff win, possibly two. And we'll see by this point at the end of the season who the contenders are in the NFC, if not the Eagles being one of the top contenders. Who knows? But I think that they have a shot to be. So week 18, again, another matchup with the Giants, ending up at home. This could be a meaningless game, or it could be to get the Eagles the division. We don't know. But either way, a division game at the last game of the season at home is always important, and this one will probably be no different. I mean, last year, we played some really bad teams and were able to beat them quite handily. The ones we struggled with the most were our division opponents, even though a lot of them were weakened. And that's because these division games are always heated contests. You never want to lose to your division rival or division opponent. So I don't think the Giants are going to take any game lightly, especially if it's week 18 and the Eagles are going to try to get into the playoffs or win a division. They're not going to take it easy on us. So, hey, and they may even be the ones we're fighting over the division for. We don't know. Like, we really don't.
Right. A lot of things, because you look at the last 5 weeks, we have three division games, right? We have New York, Dallas. Yeah, New York, Dallas, and New York again.
Right.
And we have New Orleans and Chicago in between that. Man, it's no telling where our division is at. This is after coming off of probably a few, three games where we don't even play anybody in the division. And then, boom, here we go. We have these division games right at the end of the season. And, you know, just like as constructed, you know, it's kind of been constructed that way, that you do have some important games, keep you interested towards the end of the season. So man, this could have heavy implications to it big time, man. Three out of the last five games, all division games always are important on your schedule. You have to win them if you can, man. You have to win them because that's your free ticket into the playoffs. You know, if you can't beat anybody else, at least beat the people in your division and try to come out on top of your division at least. And top to bottom, the NFC East isn't looking like the strongest division, so I don't see why the Eagles. Hopefully this is a throwaway game and we're just playing our backups.
Yeah.
That's this game, like you said, man. This could be heavy or just a throwaway game like the Cowboys game was last year. I hope we're on the more of the Cowboys spectrum. Like, we don't need this game. That means we're having a solid season.
Yeah. I you know, I'm not going to sit there and go the Eagles are going to get the number one seed in the NFC. I won't go that far, but I do have high expectations for them. And like you said, beating our division opponents has worked for the Eagles in the past to get in. And people are, you know, will say that, oh, the Eagles only got in because the NFC East is weak. It is what it is. You can't pick who your division opponents are. You just got to beat them. And that's what right. The Eagles have done. Now, this year, I expect more from that. I expect them to try to beat everybody on their schedule and have a chance in every single one of these games. My biggest concerns, again, is the defensive scheme. If the Eagles are scoring points, but they're giving up big points at a clip, that's going to be dangerous for us. We'll just see where it goes. So that's the 2022 NFL schedule for the Eagles. And we're pretty excited about it. I know I am. So before we go, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. One is just, we've talked about this to death, really. But I think that just a brief hit on this is just looking at our quarterback and where he's at. This quote came out this week from the NFL Network's Jim Trotter that said about Jalen Hurts. It is not true that everyone is waiting for him to fail so they can say, I told you so. But it sure feels like that at times. With an upgraded cast around him and a second year in the offense, Hurts has his best chance to succeed. And I think that goes even further when you look at the schedule. That's why this quote is relevant. Not only does he have a better offense, he has a great schedule coming up that gives him his best chance to succeed. There are people that are like us that are in the Jalen Hurts camp on his side. And then I see a lot of people on the message boards that aren't. We've talked about this to death, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But I will say this, is that this could be a standout year for Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of pre-talk. We don't need to get too excited. But I think that everything is laid out for him. And it's not a point of where we can say, if he fails, or we want to root for him to fail. There are those people out there. I just hope when the dust settles and Jalen does lift this team up with the weapons that he has, that those people that ragged on him remember what they said and don't come out of the woodwork and start praising the guy all of a sudden. You know they will, but yeah. It's just,
yeah, man.
I do think this is a great year for Jalen to succeed. If he's going to, you've got everything right in your way, and you're coming up on needing your extension. Are you going to be the Eagles guy? It's everything is laid out for him right now, including the schedule.
I think the reason why that can even be in Jim Trotter's mind is because it's the reality. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the one not keeping it real. It's a lot of people that are just waiting. Remember, that's why I said last week, it's almost like people don't feel like their day is complete unless they can speak on Jalen Hurts. This is just an observation. That's why I say sometimes it can feel like that because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Look, at the end of the day, we'll move forward through this season. Root for the birds, the outside noise. You know, people are going to be able to change their mind every day, man. That's the frustration with sports is that you don't have to be really held accountable. Everybody's just looking for the next hot take.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're hot takeable, you know, you have some quarterbacks that if you say their name, they're going to get headlines. Jalen Hurts is one of them. Baker Mayfield is another one. You know, if you say these names, they're clickbait. You know, people, you know, they're just guys that people love to talk about how they got there, how they got that way. You know, who knows? But that is the temperament in the media. And that's why it can even be on Trotter's brain. The take home point is, with the, you know, they mentioned, hey, he has an upgraded cast. By those standards, they should be talking about Kirk Cousins winning the Super Bowl with his Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, but you don't hear anything about what the Vikings are doing. because it's nobody cares. Kirk Cousins isn't clickbait. Mm-hmm. He doesn't break the headline. He's boring. It's provocative to talk about. It's provocative to talk about Jalen Hurts. You know, right. It's always provocative to talk about black quarterbacks. I'm gonna just put that out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always has been, but particularly with Jalen Hurts and guys like Baker Mayfield, they just kind of fall into the media clickbaits and traps, man. And that's the reason why you kind of look like the expectations on Jalen Hurts is shit. It's almost Super Bowl or bust because it's like anything he does is heavily criticized. And when you look across the league, you just don't see that level of pressure or hype being put on other quarterbacks with better casts. You just hear nothing.
No,
about you hear nothing about the Vikings all year. If they're doing well, it's because of Kirk Cousins. If they're doing bad, it's because of Kirk Cousins as well, too. But it's like they don't. You're not opening the show talking about the Minnesota Vikings, but you can open one saying, can Jalen Hurts win again this year?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it just goes to with the media are just like, look, we talk about other people. Nobody's going to care. You know what I'm saying?
You know, what's interesting to me. Let's talk about another quarterback real quick before we wrap up is that it's interesting to me that Jalen gets this, but yet somebody like Dak Prescott doesn't get as much as Jalen does. And I don't find Dak Prescott to be this Super Bowl MVP caliber quarterback. I think he's an adequate quarterback in the right situation for the Cowboys, but he hasn't won anything there yet. But yet he seems to get less scrutiny than Jalen does and other quarterbacks. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because Philly, in my opinion, and I mentioned it during the draft, I think that not only the media, I think that the fans can be toxic to a point where if we don't win now, they heap so much hate. I mean, it's happened in the past to so many people. They did it to McNabb. They did it to Wentz. And then you get this upheaval within our own team. We seem to be our own worst enemy when it comes to especially our quarterback. You know, this win now mentality and a lack of patience to let the process work out. Right. Is frustrating at times to me. And it was never so more frustrating. I've been an Eagle fan for 40 plus years. And this year, watching the draft, when I thought we were having one of the more spectacular drafts we've ever had, and to see the hate and the negativity heaped on every one of our picks, I was like, all right, you guys, you got to learn to when you've got it good. You've got it good. You made the playoffs last year. You won a Super Bowl in 2017, and then you were to the playoffs 2 years after that. You're not going to win the Super Bowl every year, so stop it. We're trying to get back there, and Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, gives us our best chance to get back there. Not bringing in Deshaun Watson, not bringing in Russell Wilson, guys that are, you know, at the end of their career or have issues or baggage. We've got a young, proven commodity who has played well. Let's ride him with these new weapons, save money without having to pay an arm and a leg for a name, a big name, designer clothes, and let's see where it takes us. So that's why I wanted to throw that in there, because with the schedule, it makes it more relevant. So before we leave, though, we can't leave any episode without having, to me, is still one of my favorite segments that we do, and that's a Hail to the Gnaw.
Hail to the Gnaw, no, no, no.
So I just got to say this right here for the Hell to the Gnaw. It's a very simple one. It's not a big meme. It's our new linebacker, our new beast that is going to be rushing the quarterback on Sundays, Hassan Reddick. You know, this guy is from Camden, New Jersey. He is an Eagle fan through and through. And I just love it. He put out this tweet that says, if you are a family member / friend of mine and you are a Cowgirls fan, do not ask for tickets. I love that.
Pretty much.
That's an Eagle fan right there. He's telling people, I don't care. I love you, but you ain't getting tickets from me if you're, and I like how he put in the Cowgirls fan in there as well. Absolutely. Just a little bit of dig.
I just love how even in the picture, it echoes his what he's saying down there. Like it sound like that's the position he was sitting in when he told, if he was to tell you verbally, like that's his demeanor.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, man. Hey, I feel him, man. Don't bandwagon now. It's a lot of Cowboys. I grew up with a lot of Cowboys and Niners fans, man. It was so mind boggling to me, but I also understand because those are the popular teams on TV winning championships. So
yeah
man.
It's just funny because that's just stayed. There's still a lot of 49er and Cowboys fans from that era from when I was growing up, and they stay, and at least I'll give them credit. They stay fans of their team, but the Eagles are the next generation. You know, I think we talked about in a previous podcast, out of the teams since 2000, the Eagles are the fifth most winningest NFL team. And that's no joke. Oh. The numbers back it up. And so this next era is ours. And so, yeah, you can be a Cowgirls fan, I'm fine, but you're not getting tickets from Hassan Reddick, just so you know, if you're a friend or a family member. I just say, if you already liked the guy for being an Eagles fan and being from the area, you can't like him any more than you do right now. That's just a perfect way to come out to the media. So I tell you what, it's great to talk Eagles in the off season, especially when we gotten something big to talk about, like the release of the schedule. We saw it. It was kind of an impromptu thing that we wanted to get together and do this episode. And I'm glad we did it because I'm excited. You got to share that excitement.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. It's glad we was able to jump on and do this last minute. Like you said, just a little impromptu, very lightly scripted. Just, hey, jump on, talk about the schedule. You know, 17 games this cover. So we still did it in a pretty sufficient time. So, yeah, man, it's always good to come back and talk birds, and we'll always be back throughout the season with updates and anything that's significant or pops through our mind. You will be around to check us out.
Definitely. I think we'll be doing a show in mid-June as well as toward the end of July, right when the training camp opens, because there will be moves. There will be stuff that will happen in the next couple of months. And then once we get into that preseason, that's just down the road. August is not far away. So I want to thank everybody who joined us today on YouTube, or watch us on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook Live. We really appreciate it. If you have any suggestions, or you just want to talk about the show, or something that you want us to read in email in the air, your own comments or opinions, you can email us at our email address at lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. Also, don't forget, if you like the live streams that we have and you want to listen to us in your car or wherever you're at work, if you're not teleworking, I don't know. I still work from home, but you can get us on all the podcast providers: Podcaster, Castro, Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So, with all that being said and the schedule released, I'm going to turn it over to my boy Tubby for his final words.
Appreciate y'all stopping by, talking about the schedule with us tonight, or this afternoon, or whenever you get to catch this. And as always, man, fly, Eagles. Bye.
And go birds. See you next time, everybody.